everybody. This is Carlos Rodriguez, sports editor of The Bell Ringer. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 7 of the Sports Squad from Augusta University's Department of Communication and Bell Ringer Phoenix Media. Today on the Sports Squad, we'll be giving updates on Augusta University sports and wrapping it up with some around-the-table discussion about different sports going on in the world. Joining the squad today is Madison Keel, who is a Bell Ringer sports writer and photography editor, and Bell Ringer sports writers Aaron Smith and Josh Picklesheimer. Starting off with AU Volleyball, they just finished their season a couple weeks ago at the Division II Southeast Regional, lost in the second round to Flagler 3-2. Madison, what are your thoughts on the way they closed out their season?
I think they played really hard. I know for them it was tough because they got a player injury in the Peach Belt Conference Tournament, which they didn't end up taking home the conference tournament this year, but for the first time ever, they were regular season champions, and that's the first time in school hit like since their program began that's the first time they've ever done that. So although they couldn't take home that conference championship, it was still a huge deal. And they did go down, they got a bye day in the Peach Bowl conference tournament, and they did go down to Aiken, but that didn't knock them out of playing in regionals, which I think was a big deal to them.
Yeah, and you know, obviously this was like a year that most people saw as like a rebuilding year. Obviously, last year they lost, you know, nine seniors. So, you know, and that team went to the Elite Eight. So, you know, going from losing that many players to still making it, making your presence known to Peach Belt, finishing first in the regular season, getting your first regular season championship, I thought that was, pretty good to see. And also just the way all these new players were able to come in and gel so quickly, I thought was very impressive. And to make it to the second round of the Division II tournament, that's still, I think, a win in my opinion from what was
Absolutely.
Supposed to be your rebuilding year.
Yeah.
You know, you still, you know, exceed, I guess, expectations that maybe others had of you. So I think that was still a great season for them, you know, despite the loss in that second round.
They definitely stepped up. I mean, they were 25-8 for the season. This season had so many, I don't want to call them little victories, but just a bunch of victories that stacked on top of each other. I mean, Coach Quarles got her 500th career win this season. You had Jasmine Wheeler named Player of the Year for the conference. That's a huge deal. And her and Alexis Diaz Infante, they both kind of stepped up for this team in a way that I don't think a lot of people expected. I mean, knowing Alexis a little bit outside of volleyball, I can definitely see how she could fill that position and take kind of a leadership role. But those two, Diaz Infante and Wheeler, both earned all-region honors.
Yeah, and yeah, you mentioned Jasmine Wheeler, the conference player of the year. And, you know, it felt like for, I think it was a span of, what, three straight weeks that she had won player of the week, too. So, you know, very impressive to, you know, come in and dominate in her first year here in the league and stuff. And, you know, you could just tell her and Diaz Infante the energy that they bring. You know, I know you guys have probably seen, you know, Kai Bricky's videos and stuff. And I've seen his videos. And, you know, you could just see the intensity that they play with and the energy, you know, especially Diaz Infante. You see, you know, she'll get a kill and she just livid and stuff. So I love seeing that, you know, how electric she is in the game and stuff. So I think, you know, Aaron, you could bring about this too. Speak about the energy that both, you know, Diaz Infante and Wheeler bring for this team.
Knowing Alexis personally, I think she brings a lot of energy in any game that she plays. I knew her from our time with the San Jose Literary Magazine, and she's been the managing editor for that magazine, and she's been such a leader in that process. And like Madison mentioned as well, when nine seniors left the team last year and she had to step up into a leadership role, she just filled that role flawlessly. And her, along with Jasmine Wheeler, as you mentioned, three straight PBC Player of the Weeks. And her, just she's every game that you see, she's in the top of the kills. Alexis is also like in the top of the kills. And those teams just come, or those players just come together, and it's just so impactful for that team, I think. So,
yeah, and kind of going back to that game against Flagler in the regional tournament, I think you kind of briefly mentioned that they were down, you know, two sets at the beginning. So, you know, for their, you know, to keep fighting and, you know, try to keep that season alive, you know, speak about the way the team's been able to do that in, you know, different games this season.
They are fighters through and through. There have been games, obviously, where they've just kind of gone in and swept 3-0, but there have been multiple games where they've had to fight to 3-2, where they've been down and they've come back three in a row. Although that is, I'm sure, what we all wish we could have seen at Flagler. They were down two sets in that third set. They went even past that. I don't remember the exact score, but I know that it was back and forth, point for point, for quite some time. That was a very long match, and the fact that they played 2-5 sets, I know that they were absolutely tired after that. But they fought. Flagler has always been a hard opponent and a good opponent. They are skilled, and they're a team. I was up there for the for the first game of the region. And since it was PBC teams versus SAC teams, all the PBC teams would sit and cheer on the other PBC teams while they were there. And that was really good to see. But then as soon as they get on the court against each other, it's, we want to win. We love Peach Belt Conference, but we want our team to win. And that is such a interesting dynamic to see.
Yeah. And yeah, speak about that experience. I know you talked to me about it about a week ago about, you know, the Wingate experience. You know, you and both Payne was talking about the gym and stuff. So, you know, speak about that experience in that regional tournament real quick.
It's very different from Christenberry Fieldhouse. If anyone has been in Christenberry Fieldhouse, you know that we have some pretty tall ceilings and a decent amount of space behind each side of our court. When you go to Wingate, that is not the case. They do have, you know, good facilities. It's why they were able to host, but the ceilings are lower. And so there were often times where they would hit the ball and they would go up and hit the rafters. So that absolutely served an interesting challenge. I spoke to some of the players even earlier in the season about playing in places other than Christenberry and about how silly things that most of us don't think about, like ceiling height, can contribute to how the game is played and how close the seats are. Because sometimes in Christenberry, they will sprint to the back of the field house to save a ball. And in Wingate, there was a little bit less room to be able to do that. So I think that where you play can always serve an interesting challenge.
So, you know, this team has four seniors. So, you know, they're going to bring back majority of this team. Obviously, Alexis being one of those seniors. But as far as the returners, you know, what are you expecting from this group coming back next year?
I think they have a great bond. I think I can tell on and off the court, even being someone who's not around them quite often. I'll see them at other athletic events. I see them together quite a bit. So I feel like they have a good bond on and off the court. And I personally feel whoever they bring in, they will be just as open to them, getting them used to the team, getting them used to how they play. And Coach Sharon Quarles is just an amazing coach. She's amazing to watch coach. I've seen some of their practices every once in a while, and just the way that she is able to give instruction in a way that the players are able to take it and improve. Just, I feel like every game I saw, there was something different. There was something improved. So I know that whoever they bring in, it'll work.
Yeah. And you had obviously, you know, a couple of juniors that we didn't mention. So you got Darian Luna, who played a big piece in this team. You know, Madeline Eden, who I remember watching the regional game, she kind of scored a couple just to keep him in there. So, you know, her intensity was really up there too. And then you obviously mentioned an injury previously in the Peach Belt tournament with Jada Sugaturaga. And, you know, she was an all-conference performer too. So,
yes.
You know, how big was that missing her for those, you know, final couple games of the season?
There's no real definite way to say. It changed the dynamic, and I could tell just from watching them. They did a lot more subbing. Normally, it's a pretty slow process, but it was pretty in and out for them. They had Dariana Luna at libero for a little bit, and she was able to sub in and out, which I think was very helpful for the team, but there's really no way to say if she was in, if the ending would have been different. I do think the team dynamic shifted, but I don't think that they didn't play to their full capacity. I still believe that they played the best that they could have.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think this team will, you know, continue to reach success. Obviously, you know, bringing back a bunch of players, if they could go from only losing 9 seniors to and still making it this far, I think, you know, next year it's very exciting what they could, you know, potentially do next year and see where they end up. So, you know, moving on to cross country, you know, tell us a little bit about that, Madison.
Absolutely. So cross country was also up at Wingate University while volleyball was competing there, just kind of a little convenient crossover. At that, the men finished 2nd. It was the Southeast Regional. And they had 5 runners who earned all region. The women actually finished 7th, but with that men's finish, they qualified for nationals in Seattle. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a great feeling. You know, last year we missed nationals by 1 point, so that really stung. We got, you know, the top 3 teams in each region qualify automatically, and then the NCAA selects 10 at-large teams. So, unfortunately, we weren't one of those 10 teams from last year that got selected as our at-large position, but, you know, we all remember that, losing by 1 point, because when we first crossed the line and stuff, after a few minutes after, you know, sometimes the live results kind of, you know, mess up and stuff. And, you know, there's certain things that say, okay, they're not counting so-and-so by an accident. So last year we were, I think, second by a lot of points. And then 5 minutes go by after we celebrated that we made it. Next thing you know, we're in fourth by 1 point. It just shifted the whole mood. And it was a really bummer for us. Kai Bricky was able to go to Nationals as an individual last year, but he even said that he wished he had us there, which kind of stung because he didn't have the race he wanted to. And, you know, being there without your team kind of stinks. So we're all excited that we're able to go there. It's going to be, for the seven of us that are racing, it's going to be five of our first times at Nationals. Hans Troyer and Kai Bricky both have raced Nationals, I think, two times each. So the last time the team went as a team was 2019, which is funny because our head coach, Jacob Bergmi, was on that team when they went. So, you know, he's going from the last time we went running it to now the next time we were there coaching it. So I think that's pretty funny to see that. But no, we're all excited. It's the festival year, which is a big event. So all the fall championships are being hosted in Seattle. So it's going to be a very big event, and we're all excited to be there.
You know, I can tell from going to a couple of the cross country matches that are local, I can tell how close y'all's team is. I'm pretty good friends with Avery and Kai, and they're just, anytime I'm talking to them, they're just talking about how much fun y'all's team is. Just speak about that. Like, I think it's Hans and Kai's senior year, right? So this is their last hurrah on the cross country team. So speak about that, like how y'all want to end it the way y'all want to.
Yeah. So Hans and Kai, you know, this is their fifth year. So, you know, a lot of us that were here during that COVID year, we all got an extra year back and stuff. So there were two of the guys that got it an extra year. So did I. So it's their fifth year, and we're definitely happy that they came back because, you know, they could have just easily graduated and left. But, you know, having them back, it's really helped us because they're our top two guys, and they provide that great leadership that I don't think this team would be the same if they weren't here. You know, we needed that, and we needed their experience. But, yeah, we definitely want to send them out on a good note. You know, right now, the latest poll had us ranked 23 in the nation. Similar to back in 2019, they kind of underestimated the team. And I think the team was ranked somewhere in the 20s. And even one like media outlet had them finishing 33 out of 34 teams. And that year they finished ninth. So I think we're just trying to exceed the expectations that that were accordingly from all the sites predicted to get. We think if we have a really good day, we could finish top 10 in the nation. So I think that's one of our goals. And like how you said, our team is really close. You know, we were always together. You know, this past Saturday, we all ate together at one of our teammates' house and stuff. So I just think being able to build that bond and consistently spending time with each other, I think, helps with the team dynamic. And, you know, with our team, we have a lot of pack running. So I think that just helps with being close together and succeeding and stuff like that.
Now, y'all are leaving tomorrow, I believe, at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Is that going to affect you at all, leaving at 5:30 in the morning, going across the country, literally on the other side of America?
Switching time zones.
Yeah. I mean, you're switching 3-hour time zones right now. So you think that's going to affect your team at all, or does Coach Bergamy have y'all, you're going to get y'all right for that?
I think we'll get right. I mean, because in 2019, it was in Sacramento, so that was also a 3-hour time difference. So, you know, if they finished ninth, I think they were able to manage that time change pretty easy. But I think the first day first night we might wake up, you know, probably like 5 a.m. or something like that, just because we're used to the East Coast time. But kind of same thing happened. I know on the last podcast they mentioned, I think Dr. Bula mentioned, some of us took a trip to Flagstaff, Arizona over the summer. Mm-hmm. And I was one of those guys that went on that trip, and it was kind of similar. I remember the first couple of nights I woke up like at 5:30, 6 a.m. and I was just like wide awake because I wasn't used to the time change yet. But I think after, you know, a day or two, we'll be fine and hopefully it'll all be good and stuff. So, yeah, we're excited for that, even though it's going to be a long flight. But, yeah, we're super excited for that. And kind of speaking about the women a little bit too, you know, with them finishing seventh, it was their best finish from the last regional where they finished ninth. And you know, this team isn't losing anybody, so I'm excited to see how they perform on the track. And even next year, we recently had time trials. So for everybody that's not racing Nationals, the women and men, they had their they had a 5K time trial on the track, and there were some very promising times. I think we had nearly all women broke 19 and 20 minutes for the 5K. So that was really good to see on that side. We had a lot of great times on the men's side as well. But on the women's side specifically, you know, Cassie ran 18:01. So 18:01 5K is you know, very fast, you know. So it's very exciting to see how she performs on the track and, you know, hopefully within the conference during track too. Now moving on, let's see, basketball. So, you know, as we know, men's basketball off to a 4-0 start, you know, ranked number two in the nation right now. You know, they've been looking very strong, specifically Tyshawn Crawford. You know, he's bullying everybody down there in the paint. So, you know, what are some things you guys have seen from this team so far?
So as you mentioned, the Jaguars have started off the 2022-23 season at 4-0, and Tyshawn Crawford is a big part of that. And I interviewed him after their game against Fayetteville State University on Sunday, November 20th, and I asked him why he was so effective scoring in the paint. And he said, "I'm just too big. I'm not a kid. They can't guard me." So, and against University of Mount Olive, he's had 18 points and 8 rebounds. And against Barton College, he had 23 points and 14 rebounds. And against Fayetteville, he had 26 points, 12 rebounds, and he shot 8 of 8 from the free throw line. And then against Benedict College, he had 25 points and 7 rebounds. So standing at 7'1", he's been a matchup nightmare for opposing defenses in the paint, and that's paid dividends for Coach Demetrius and the Jaguars. And another player I'd like to mention is Jaquez Kirby, who has been playing hard, and whenever he's on the court. In those games, he's been healthy. He's been doing a little bit of everything. So against the University of Mount Olive, he had 23 points, 2 steals, 1 block, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, and he shot 1-of-1 from the three-point line. Then against Barton, he had 13 points, 1 block, 12 rebounds, 1 assist, and he shot 4-of-4 from the free throw line. So even though he's not only scoring, but he's also doing a little bit of everything, both on the offensive and the defensive end. And it just shows how versatile he is for this team. And he didn't play much at all in the last two games against Fayetteville and Benedict College, but Miguel Arnold really played well in his absence. And he kept the Jaguars undefeated thus far, scoring 11 and 19 points respectively and 3 and 9 rebounds respectively. So after the Jaguars exhibition game against Emory University on November 5th, I interviewed Jaquez Kirby and I asked him what the team needed to do to be successful, and he stressed defense and teamwork. And with his absence, the Jaguars were able to come away with wins behind the play of Tyshawn Crawford and Miguel Arnold, and the entire team played well as well. And even when players like Kirby go down with injuries, there are players like Miguel Arnold who can help fill those voids.
Yeah, you know, definitely. With Kirby, you know, dealing with some ankle injuries, you know, I definitely miss him being on the floor as much as he wants to be and stuff, because, you know, me personally, you know, I'm, you know, videoing these guys on the baseline and stuff, so, you know, Kirby's a highlight reel, so I'd miss seeing those highlight dunks and stuff, definitely capturing those. I miss seeing those, but you know, the most important thing is for him to get healthy and, you know, for him to be there when the team needs him the most and stuff. But, you know, obviously, like you said, kind of guys picking up that offensive needs and defensive needs that the team needs. You know, David Vitti stepped into the starting lineup a couple times, so, and, you know, he's kind of woken up the crowds with some dunks too, you know, in that game against Fayetteville State with like a minute 30 left, you know. Darren Lucas White passes to him and he just rises up and dunks on a defender, and, you know, we talked to him at the mm-hmm. game about that, and, you know, he kind of joked about, you know, saying, you know, white guys can't jump and stuff, or just saying, like, you know, he doesn't recruit many white guys, but he's like, you know, trust me, you know, I could dunk and stuff. So I thought that was pretty funny. But, and even against Benedict, he had a couple of dunks too. I've loved to see him you know, pick up that slack, I would say, against that, you know, Kirby, you know, always known for his emphasized dunks, you know, BD's picking up there, which you normally see him stretching from the three-point line, but he's doing a little bit of everything too. And then kind of going back to Tyshawn Crawford, you know, right now he's averaging 23 points, 10 rebounds, so, you know, he's a monster on the glass and down there in the paint. So, you know, it's exciting to see him work, just because he's a mismatch for most teams. You know, most teams' big man in Division II is usually stand around 6'7", 6'8", so it's like hard for all these teams to, you know, match up against him.
Yeah, no, talking to Coach Mitrus after the game, like, obviously you never want to wish injury on players, obviously our best player Kirby, but like we were talking to him afterward, and we were asking him, like, hey, like, is, do you, like, playing with a lineup like this, does this prepare you for, like, later in the season for, like, games, like, let's say Kirby's out or somebody gets into foul trouble and you got to run a different lineup or something like that? God forbid it happens. Hopefully it doesn't, but, you know, if it does, and he said absolutely, like, this, like, obviously you don't want to look too far ahead, but it's when you've been in those type of experiences, you know, you're not going to be as nervous, or you're going to be prepared, and that's definitely what this team needs, considering, like, this is the standard of AU basketball now, is to be good at AU men's basketball. And I think going with Tyshawn Crawford, watching that Fayetteville State game, that's a grown man right there amongst boys. Like, it's, as Shaq would say, barbecue chicken. Like, they were fouling that dude, and the refs weren't calling it, just because he's just so physical. And Tyshawn, he had hit him with a little bit of a shimmy and a jump shot, because he was just getting a little ticked off that they weren't giving him nothing in the paint. But, I mean, it just shows how versatile this team is. It's like you have your best player out, and you put guys in, and you still dominate. So this team has nowhere else to go but up, and I'm really excited to keep up with them for the rest of the year.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you speak about being so versatile. You know, you got guys like Tyree Myers, you know, who's a fifth-year guard, who – you know, steps up when he needs to as well. You know, he's mainly, Dibs likes to say, you know, with Tyrese's position being a point guard, he says there's a difference between a points guard and a point guard. You know, points guard is going to be one that, you know, gives you, scores the ball and stuff, but a point guard is going to be, you know, a playmaker and stuff. And I feel like Tyree has the ability to do both. If the team needs points, he's going to put points on the board, but he mainly looks to, you know, get his team involved first. So, you know, I definitely love the, you know, his leadership, because he's definitely the leader of this team, you know, the floor general and stuff. And, you know, they all listen to him. So, and he's the most experienced, you know, since day one when he came in, he's been a starter since his freshman year when they won the Peach Belt tournament his freshman year, and they made an, a tournament run that year as well. But, yeah, no, I definitely love the way this team's been playing. Madison, you know, you were able to travel with this team when they went to the Elite Eight and made it to the national championship game. And, you know, from that team, you know, lost key starter Tor Cracknell, but, you know, bring back everybody else. So, you know, what have you seen from this team that, you know, looks promising and, you know, making another playoff run?
I've loved seeing what I will call the core team, you know, those guys who traveled last time. Even if they weren't on the court, they traveled, such as Timmy Sellers. He was injured last season, so being able to see him dressed out is just wonderful, because I got to speak with him quite a bit in Indiana. And a lot of these players, it's good to see, like you were speaking about earlier, getting prepared for the just-in-case scenarios, because you don't want to think about what bad could happen, but you want to be prepared in case it does. So seeing some of our new recruits get court time, Chris Britt being put out there was great to see. It just shows that we can put people in and fill spots when we need to. I know that Daniel Allen hit the court a little bit. He was on our team last year, but he didn't get a ton of play time. So getting to see him out there has been good. You were speaking about Tyree Myers during our Pack the House game, which brought over 1,600 people into Christenberry Fieldhouse. It was a sight to see.
Yeah.
I was speaking with some people there who were just kind of there because they could be, just wanted to see what was happening. And they were like, well, what should I be looking for? Like, who should I be watching? And I was like, Tyree Myers. If you want someone to watch who is great at this sport and is a leader, watch Tyree Myers. If you want to be entertained, watch for some dunks. They're going to happen. I had people after that game being like, I didn't know that our team was this good. And I was like, yeah, we're a great team. And I have not a doubt, honestly, that they have the full ability to go to the Elite Eight again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Tyree's definitely, you know, a winner since day one. High school, he won a lot, and then college, he's winning a lot too. But, yeah, kind of going back to Timmy Sellers, you know, it's definitely great to see him back on the floor after that injury last season. You know, he also had a good game against Fayetteville State too. So his ability, you know, to be on the floor and let Tyshawn rest on the bench when he needs to, I definitely think he's a great teammate. And, you know, Dib even mentioned when we were all interviewing him post-game that, you know, he's unselfish. You know, he plays his role. You know, he said, I think back in that tournament at Mount Olive, you know, Timmy barely played. I think he said one of those games because Tyshawn was just having such a good game, and he said he didn't hang his head or none of that. You know, he was happy for him and, you know, ready for his name to be called. And when his name was called, you know, he showed up. So definitely, you know, kudos to him. And, you know, you kind of mentioned too how Josh was saying having all these players being able to get in, it definitely prepares you for later in the season, because then, you know, when you do have those, when you're at the, you know, Elite Eight or something and you got a guy in foul trouble, you need to bring somebody, you know, who might not be experienced, you know, you avoid that by having these guys play early on, especially, you know, with a guy like Demetri Gardner. You know, he was a redshirt freshman last year, getting, you know, started, you know, this season. So, you know, definitely been nice to see him on the floor too. Now, moving on to women's basketball, though. So, you know, they're 4-1 right now. They just had a game yesterday against Wingate. They lost by 5 points. Madison, you were at that game. You know, speak a little bit about, you know, how they started the season and a little bit about that game.
Absolutely. I've gotten the chance to speak with Celeste Stewart, that is their head coach currently. She stepped up when Coach Millette Green left, and she has such a positive outlook on this team, and it's hard not to. I tend to get to games early, just that's something I do. When you photograph, you get there a little bit early, and just watching them practice and watching that dynamic on the court before they're even playing a game is amazing. I can tell that they all care, and I can tell that they all have similar goals. Like our men's basketball team, I'm sure if you ask any of them, what's your goal? National championship.
Yeah.
If you ask the women's team, they're going to say the same thing. Even though last season wasn't necessarily fantastic for them, they still are reaching for the stars. And I think that the way they've played so far, they're playing very well. And last night, you know, with that loss, they were 4-0, and now they're 4-1 with Wingate. Wingate's just a tough school. And that first half, they were playing, honestly, really solid. It was a really solid team. They can get the ball down the court. I think where they have room to improve is defense. Because they can score, they just have a tough time keeping the other team from getting there, too. There was a couple of runs last night. There were a few eight-point runs on Augusta. And those are tough to see because the ball gets back down and they're trying to shoot. They're trying to get it in and then just keeps getting rebounded and run right back the other way. And so I think defense is definitely the place where they can improve.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of versatility with this team, too, like how the Arizona men's team. You know, you got four players in averaging double figures right now. You got Tamia Alford leading the team right now with 14.8 points a game. But then you got Kennedy Manning, you know, who's been a presence, you know, ever since she's came here. Absolutely. So, you know, she's a senior now, but she's been a presence the past 4 years, been an all-conference performer. Then you got players like Monet Florence and Autumn Phillips. Autumn Phillips had, what, 24 points yesterday, I believe. And, you know, so I feel like it's not every game the same player. You know, they're consistently switching and stuff like that. So you have different players chipping in. And obviously you got Kiara Howard, who's kind of like the Tyree Myers of the team, you know, the lead guard, the leader of the team, the captain of the team. You know, she's a fifth-year guard as well. So, you know, she's not averaging the most, but, you know, she still puts in 7.2 points a game. So, you know, I think, you know, her abilities to be a leader on the floor is, you know, definitely important as well.
Yeah, and she can get the ball down the court when she needs to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to, let's see, golf. So, Josh, you know, they've picked up recruits on both the women's and men's side. So, you know, speak about some of the recruits they've signed. You could briefly mention them.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, AU men's and women's golf, they both have they're right now idle for season-wise. They both completed their fall seasons in the beginning of November and the end of October. So this is kind of like a good median for the coaches right now. Like the women's team actually has signed three new golfers. We have Victoria Zhang, who's from Markham, Ontario. We've got Kiara Gonzalez, who's from Spain, and Zoe Pinillos from Peru. So this is big for the women's golf team, who this year I'm seeing it as like a rebuilding year, because last year they had a lot of people transfer out. And so now this is good just to see that the women's golf is starting to retain some of those people that left to really build this program back up. And then with the men actually got five guys, three from Georgia and then two from South Africa. And we really like those South Africa guys. So from the men's side, we have Chapman Barnett. He's from Alpharetta. We've got Dalton Burt. He's from Peachtree. That's close to Atlanta for those that don't know. And then we got Mason Funsland from Milton, Georgia. And then we got Steven Jacobs from Johannesburg, South Africa, South Africa guy. And then we have a guy with my name, Joshua Kokomor, from South Africa. His last name is hard to pronounce, just like mine. So, but this men's team is definitely rebuilding, starting to get these recruits back, and I think that this definitely could be a great chance for this men's team to turn it around after this. I guess I would say disappointing performance in the fall, but like, I mean, it's the fall. The spring is when it really matters. But I mean, this is the time to start seeing the bright side or the other side of the hill for this men's program and these women's programs. So I think AU golf is starting to make the turn, and let's hope they definitely do, because AU is the standard of golf here is high, and we have high expectations. So let's hope that these teams can meet them.
For sure, yeah. So before we wrap up, we're just gonna go around the room and kind of speak about, you know, a topic that you thought was interesting, I guess, and recently in sports. You know, I'll start off first. We know college basketball. You know, Purdue has been, you know, dominant. You know, this past weekend, you know, they beat Gonzaga by 18 and Duke by 19. So, you know, they've been dominant. I thought that was interesting to see. You know, they got a 7'4 center, so, you know, even bigger than Tyshawn Crawford. So, you know, you got a guy at 7'4, Zach Eddy, who, you know, has been dominating the college game too. So I thought they've been playing really good. They're looking like a Final Four team right now. And then you got, you know, UNC losing twice. You know, they lost to Iowa State and Alabama yesterday. Again, they lost to Alabama yesterday in four overtime. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So, yeah.
College basketball has definitely been interesting lately. I think in college football and college basketball, like four top 10 teams have lost in the past week. So this has definitely been an interesting week for the top 10s in both sports. You know, you had with I think it's the Paul Knight Invitational that was happening this or something like that.
I know they have two different terms. So I think it's Paul Knight Legacy and then Paul Knight.
And then there's like a Maui Invitational going on somewhere in the Bahamas, I think, or Maui. But you got North Carolina losing to Iowa State, and that was the. I don't know if anybody watched that game, but like. Iowa State came out of nowhere and like just dominated him. I mean, obviously Armando Bacot, you know, he dominated because that's what he always does. But you know, that was about it from the North Carolina side. And then another top five team that lost was Kansas lost to Tennessee.
Yeah, Kansas City,
and so me being a Kentucky fan, I didn't like to see that because now Tennessee's looking tough. But I mean, they've always been tough. So this is definitely a shakeup. And Kentucky lost to Gonzaga. So seeing Purdue beat Gonzaga and then beat Duke, college basketball is definitely going to be. Interesting time coming down the stretch, but hey, all that matters is March. You just got to get there,
right.
And when you got to win in March. But this is why I love college basketball, because it's not like football where Georgia, there's one team that dominates the whole season. It could be a number one team. Teams lose, teams win. It's so interesting. It's constant back and forth, and I think that's what makes college basketball a little bit more interesting from that perspective than college football. But I mean, how could you not take your eyes off the screen if you're watching college basketball? It's a sight to see right now. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else want to mention anything real quick before we wrap up?
Want to mention your Bulldogs, Madison?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to talk about Georgia football. So they just finished up their regular season beating Georgia Tech, which, can't lie, that game had me a little stressed out in the beginning. But they pulled through and they won like they have been doing all season, and they are back-to-back years, 13-0 regular seasons, which is just astronomical. I've been watching Georgia football since I was little and didn't even understand what I was looking at. So now being able to fully understand and be into it and watch this happen 2 years in a row is just amazing. And they will take on LSU Saturday, December 3rd at 4 for the SEC championship, which seems like, I mean, it is a big deal. Being SEC champions would be amazing, but also even if Georgia somehow drops the ball on that game, they will most likely still be going forward and competing on New Year's Eve for that semifinals to get to the national championship.
Yeah, it was a big rivalry week in college football. You know, a lot of teams playing each other. You know, South Carolina beats Clemson. So, after beating in Tennessee the previous week.
Amazing.
So it was a really good rivalry week. And then you got Michigan and Ohio State, Michigan with the win too. So that was a pretty big game as well.
Madison, are you starting to get a little nervous after seeing that Michigan game? Because, I mean, it could be another matchup, Georgia-Michigan. Yeah. I mean, Georgia ain't looked amazing the past 2 weeks, and Michigan came out there and spanked. They whooped up on them Ohio State Buckeyes. I mean,
No, they did. And I have a lot of trust in the Georgia football team, but sometimes they do make decisions that aren't the best. I mean, we have Stetson Bennett, just a solid quarterback. Does sometimes he misstep? Yeah, but everyone does.
Yeah, true.
And it is sad that this is the last year that Georgia will have him as the quarterback, so... There was time in the Georgia Tech game where they did put in their second, so that was kind of interesting to see. He threw some solid passes, threw some not-so-solid passes, so I think in the offseason they will be able to have time to kind of mold him. No one can be Stetson Bennett, but you can try.
Yeah, definitely you can try. I mean, he should be a Heisman candidate.
He should be
in contention. Who knows if he will be? I don't know if you're going to beat out Hannah Hooker
or CJ
Stroud, but yeah. I don't know. That Ohio State game might have screwed him over.
I'll give Hannah Hooker all the credit. I do think that he should also be in the running. I think one thing that Georgia definitely has going for them, last season they lost a ton of players. They lost a ton of defensive players.
Mm-hmm. Nine out of 11 starters, something like that? 8 out of 11, something like that?
Yeah. most of the defensive starters left. But seeing how they can take that and still play like they're playing this season is amazing. And then you have guys like Brock Bowers, who is a sophomore, so at least another year, if he decides to move on to the NFL, or 2 years. And then you have people like Ladd McConkey, who we're going to have 2 or 3 more years with. And those are, when the ball is going to the end zone, it's most likely one of those two. And they're most likely going to catch it. Mm-hmm. And so that's great to see for the future of the program.
Definitely. I mean, this is back-to-back seasons of undefeated seasons in the SEC and non-conference. So, I mean, they're going undefeated into the SEC championship. So that's definitely good for Georgia. You know what, Madison, give me your top four right now. Who you think are the top four in the college football playoff rankings right now after this weekend? You think Ohio State's they got to put them out, right?
I don't think it's going to shift. I mean... Honestly,
you think Ohio State's still going to be three?
They might flip. It might go like.
What about USC though? Because you got undefeated TCU, you got USC that just beat the 15th ranked Notre Dame.
TCU's going to stay top four.
I'm going to have to disagree with you there. I think it's going to be Georgia, Michigan. I think TCU is going to jump Ohio State. I think Ohio State's going to be five. And then I think USC is going to be four.
Think they're going to put Carolina in the top four?
TCU.
TCU?
Texas Christian. Yeah. They're number three right now.
Yeah,
they're number four right
they're
now.
They're number four right now. That's what I'm saying. They're going to stay.
Did I say Carolina? I apologize.
Yeah,
that.
That's why I was
I apologize. Sorry. Sorry. One, Georgia. Two, Michigan. Three is TCU. And then four, I think, is going to be USC as in California.
Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Caleb Williams is a dog, man. I don't know if y'all saw it. That dude was running around like he just was flinging all over the yard. But and then I think five is going to be Ohio State, six is going to be Alabama, and I think you need to keep your eye on Alabama because if TCU or USC loses, I think it's going to be hard for this college football playoff to keep Alabama out of this playoff because their two losses are on like last minute plays.
Yeah.
So. I know how I was saying that college basketball was going to be interesting coming down the stretch, but
these next
college
few weeks
football,
are going to be
this next week is going to be interesting, and then to see the bowl games and how the top four are going to match up going into the college football playoff, that is definitely going to be something to keep your eye on.
Yeah, this Saturday is going to be very telling. Excited.
Definitely.
So I'm going to switch things over to basketball for a second because the Atlanta Hawks are playing the Philadelphia 76ers tonight, and they're both have 11 wins, 9 losses on the season. Mm-hmm. And then they're both five wins out of the top seed, and they're playing tonight. I think Trae Young and DeJounte Murray are going to have to step up a little bit because they lost to the Houston Rockets, who have one of the worst records in the NBA. And this Philadelphia 76ers team is losing a lot of key starters, Tyrese Maxey and James Harden, and Joel Embiid's like questionable to play, I believe. So they're going to need to play well and get the win to get some separation from this team because they're both Atlanta Hawks are fifth in the Eastern Conference, and then the Philadelphia 76ers are sixth, and then the Indiana Pacers are 4.5 games out of the top seed, and they're their fourth seed. So if the Atlanta Hawks want to climb up to the top seed, I think they need to take care of business tonight when they need to. So.
Yeah, back when they played the 76ers November 10th and 12th, those, I can't really call them back-to-back games, but close enough, they split it, so it was a win and a loss, and so it's really, as much of a Hawks fan as I am, I go into a game and I never know. I would love to say that I go into every game being like, yeah, we got it. I don't. Every time I hope that we do, I really, really hope that we do, and sometimes they show out, and it's fantastic, and Sometimes they're not.
I mean, yeah, they definitely have a tough one tonight because you're talking about a 76ers team who literally didn't have Tyrese Maxey or Joel Embiid the other day versus the Brooklyn Nets, and they beat them and they made them look silly, and Ben Simmons returned to Philly. So the Atlanta Hawks definitely need to make a turnaround. I mean, you went out and got DeJounte Murray in the offseason and to give you that dual guard game that y'all needed that, you know, is heavily dominated by Trae Young. So I think this is definitely an opportunity to show Atlanta fans and the Atlanta Hawks as a group, like, hey, we should be considered as a key contender in the East. Cause I mean, it's now or never, because sooner or later you might have to start thinking about other things. Like, but I think this is definitely a time for you to show what you got in the Eastern Conference.
I mean, these games are never blowouts. It's close pretty much all the time, and so
that's just how it is in the East.
Yeah, so they have that potential and they have that ability. I just want them so desperately to grasp onto it and just skyrocket. I feel as if they could.
They can. I think they definitely have a chance too, because the East is. I think the East is really top heavy in terms of like the Milwaukee Bucks and the Philadelphia 76ers, who are kind of struggling a little bit, but once they get healthy, they're going to be one of the top teams in the league. And the Brooklyn Nets are kind of like all over the place in a sense. You don't know what you're going to get from them every game. So I think this is as good of a chance as any for the Atlanta Hawks to kind of make a name for themselves in the Eastern Conference and hopefully go far in the playoffs. But that's, you know, way down the road. But I think this is a good way to kind of put themselves in the right direction going forward. So,
absolutely. I just want to add one last thing here, if everybody doesn't mind. Now, if you know me, I am not a soccer guy. It's not football, people. It's not football for the FIFA World Cup. It's soccer. I've been watching a lot of soccer lately. And I don't know if you watched that game, any of y'all, versus England the other day. No, we got any soccer fans at the table right now? No?
I personally, I don't
listen, me neither. But, over the Thanksgiving break, I've been keeping up with a lot of FIFA. And A lot of the World Cup, and it's very interesting for America right now. We tied Wales, or we had a draw with Wales. I think it was last Wednesday or Tuesday, 1-1, and then we had another draw with England on Saturday, I believe it was.
I think it was Friday.
And it was 0-0. So I mean that is exactly what we needed, and now we have a game against Iran on tomorrow, actually, where all we got to do is win and we're in. So this is definitely we're talking about a team who hasn't been to the World Cup in 8 years, and this is our first opportunity to get past the knockout round or get into the knockout round. I think this is the qualifiers into the knockout. A soccer fan will probably correct me later, but definitely, if you're not a soccer fan like myself, this, you want to watch the game, because for some reason I couldn't care less about soccer, but then when I see that American flag next to the name,
it matters so much.
My patriotism just comes out, and I want to go support him. I don't even know who Christian Pulisic is, and he's apparently our star player. So I mean, I've heard of him because he was on FIFA, the cover of FIFA one time, but I don't watch soccer. So this is definitely keep your eye on this team. And then in a month or so, who knows? We could be going further. But
we'll see how it shakes out.
Mm-hmm. You just heard about England being this team that was favored, and then it was a draw.
0-0.
We played great defense that game. I thought Harry Kane was going to come in there and just to embarrass us, but that's not the case. We embarrassed them. 0-0.
All right, that'll wrap everything up for today. Stay tuned for our next podcast in a few weeks. Thank you for listening today, and thank you to Madison Keel, Aaron Smith, and Josh Picklesheimer for joining us today for Season 5, Episode 7. The Sports Squad is a production of Bellringer Phoenix Media. The producer is Ethan Balducci. The coordinating producer is Dr. David Bula, and I am your host, Carlos Rodriguez. The opinions stated here are those of the individuals and not Augusta University. You can find us at aubellringer.com and on social media at AUG_Bellringer. Have a great day, and listen again soon. We're out.